Good evening and welcome to Scent this evening. It's very warm this evening, is it not? I thought we might start with our notices and any news that we want to share with one another. I've got one or two notices. I don't know whether anybody has any notices to bring. There will be refreshments after the service, so if you want to continue in conversation and fellowship, then through that door on my left, and there'll be tea and coffee and other refreshments available. If you want to take the opportunity to pray with somebody, there's a space set aside over there, and people will join you to pray there after the service. The current In Touch magazine is available. You may have picked up one this morning. If not, there are some in the foyer this evening, and you can collect those. So this evening we're going to look at our skills and the work of our hands. You may have heard of Bezalel and Oholab, two people from the Old Testament. We read about them in Exodus. It says that God filled them with skill to do all kinds of work as engravers and designers, embroiderers in blue and purple and scarlet yarn and fine linen. You might think, well, this is for other people, it's not for me. But I wonder if we can investigate this evening the skills and the abilities that we have and how we can serve God in that way. So God invites us to draw near to him. If we draw near to him, he will draw near to us. And we mustn't be in two minds about this. We must be clear in what we're doing. We're coming to draw near to him. So I'll pray in a moment and then I'll hand over to Joe and we're going to sing a couple of songs together. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity to meet together to worship you. We pray that you would be with us and that you would assist us. Even if we are few in number, we pray, Lord, that you would remind us of all those who we worship with and that you would encourage us and help us to lift up our voices and our hearts to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
To the Father, through Jesus.
Father, we thank you that we can come to you who know the stars by name, you know us by name, you know the hairs on our heads, yet we're able to come to you and know you as a loving Father, one who will accept us in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for all that you've done in Jesus, for the way open that you've made possible to life in all its fullness. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our seats. Well, I confess to being a little disappointed. I thought you would all be laden down with the crafts and the skills and the items. You've forgotten, haven't you? Oh, no, somebody's saying they have remembered. Good. I thought I would break up what I was going to say to you in two parts today, make it more digestible, and give us an opportunity perhaps to talk to each other, or even somebody might want to tell us all about the crafts and the skills that we're involved in. This is part of a series of God in My, and for me, a large part of my life has been what I've done with my hands, the things that I've made. I've done that for a living. I've done it for pleasure. Are you like me in thinking that there's nothing quite like making something? Even when we go to the beach, we make a sandcastle. Or by the river, we want to make a dam. Is it just me? Oh, no? No? It's you as well? Good. At home, is my house simply somewhere where I sleep and eat, or is it more than that? Do I add to it, embellish it? Is my garden just a space that exists between me and my neighbour? It seems to me that an awful lot in life I want to shape, I want to define, I want to tinker with. So where is this all from? Why do I feel this way? Why do you feel that way? I think it starts in God's work of creation. What God did, as we read in Genesis, is the prototype for all work and activity that follows. You see, God didn't just have a dream about creation. He actually brought something into reality. He made something. He brought something into existence for his pleasure. And then he provides all the materials that you and I need to do the same thing. Space, time, matter, energy. God brought all these things into being. And they, well, are they our playthings? Perhaps that's not the right way to put it. But they're there for us to be involved in. God expresses himself in creation. So we're told that all of creation displays or expresses God's design, power, and goodness. But it's only us, it's only human beings who are said to be made in God's image, in his likeness. So when we're at work in the world, we're working like him. Or at least those urges, those basic things are there within us. We know that this is a fallen world, and much of what God has placed in us is in danger of being obscured and spoiled. Now, it's really interesting that God looks at what he does and says that it is good. Again, you can read this in Genesis. As each phase of the creation goes through, he remarks on how good it is. God shapes and defines things out of the chaos. Is it too much to say that God is engrossed in his work of making something physical? Do we regard the material things, the stuff of this world, as something worthwhile? The first-rate material that God has made? On the seventh day, when God rested, was that because he was tired, or was it because he was admiring what he'd done? So I want this evening to promote the concept of skill and of the work of our hands with you. I think it's, I'd like to use the phrase, the sanctity of skill. So sanctity is to do with something that's holy or sacred or saintly. Do you think of the skills that you have and the way that you express them as being holy, sacred or saintly? It's interesting that the word skill and wisdom have some connections. I'm not a scholar of the Bible languages, but there are those people who can help you with these things. Proverbs 4 says, get wisdom. Though it cost you all you have, get understanding. Now, it's not altogether wrong, I don't think, to translate it, above all, get skill. Even if it costs you everything, the skill of living life. So I'm really intrigued and I'm excited by the idea that as Christians, we're people who have been restored to a full life. And that includes our skills and the work of our hands. Now, this is the point at which I was expecting a flood of people to have things with them to show us. Is there anybody that has anything with them that they'd like to show us that they've...
Is it crafty?
Well, it's something that you've made or that you that demonstrates God's creativeness in you. Or is that putting it too highly?
I've made a start on this for my mum. It's going to be a great big... It doesn't look like much at the minute, but it's going to be a great big long thing, and then I'm going to try and frame it. Her birthday's in October, so I've made a start. But it's a good way of focusing and listening at the same time. I find that sometimes if I just sat here listening, my mind wanders very easily, so if I've got something to focus on and listen as well, then it helps my mind to kind of stop and... pay attention. So, yeah.
Thank you. Anybody else got something they'd like to tell us about? Ah, Peter. Good. It doesn't have to be an arts and crafts type craft.
That's a relief. I bought a book that I wrote. In fact, I've got a few here. And although,
it's a bit dodgy.
Although this is not the primary point of this evening, I can do you a very special rate if you're, if you're interested. This is a book on John Bunyan. I also wrote, essentially, just before I came here, a draft book on discipleship, which... we then sort of preached through here, and I honed down the chapters. Anne and I talked about it together, and the manuscript for that has just come through. And I would have brought it, but I left it on the kitchen table. And I love to write; it's something that I really enjoy doing. It's a release, and it's creative, and so that's what I bought.
Excellent, thank you, Peter. Anybody else? Ah, Margaret. Ah, you see, it's in the bag. That's the thing, I didn't see it.
There's two things in the bag, but does anyone can know just now? When I was a little girl, I was at home. Children were seen and not heard. Don't speak unless you're spoken to. And don't say anything unless it's worth saying. Maybe that's why speech therapy is where I ended up, helping people to be able to say the things they thought were worth saying. And this is it's an embroidery. It's got lots of Christmas words, and I think we've got something fantastic to say about our Lord, and Christmas is a great time to do it, all year round as well, obviously.
Thank you, Margaret. See, I should have had more faith in you all.
You can't actually see what I've made today, but it's in both Pete and me. Because I love to cook and I love to create lovely meals for anybody who's at our table. And hospitality is one of those wonderful Christian gifts we can all share in, either receiving or giving. And it gives me pleasure to see other people receiving pleasure. And actually, it's a wonderful thing, and we feel well nourished.
Good. So is your one. I think a lot of people know I work for Cancer Research for Wheatfields.
Yes.
I spend most of my time raising money.
Good. Thank you. Oh, look at this. We're going to be here all night at this rate.
Yes. So it's a different kind of work of my hands.
Yes.
So in the foyer, you may have noticed there's a crate of apples.
Yes.
Now, in our house, or on our home, on our plot, we have 7 apple trees. And Jeff, when we first moved in, gave me a few pointers as to how to prune, how to look after, how to care for, produce a good crop. And so those apples are the fruits of my labours at home.
Excellent.
We both brought something, haven't we? Mine is just something I have no particular skill in, but in a sense it was kind of a failed project because it was it's made out of obviously cardboard and super glue, and it was meant to be a hat, but it wasn't, for many design reasons, it wasn't a very good hat. The only reason it wasn't really, it was saved, was because Rio insisted. creative as well.
Yeah, I've just got, like... I just really enjoy it, to rest and relax and think about scripture, I guess. It's just like to soak in it more that way, yeah.
Good, thank you. Thank you.
I really enjoy watercolor painting. So when I do it, I forgot the time doing, forgot eating, forgot sleeping. Can spend more time whole night to do painting 3
watercolors.
Pictures. Yeah. Then I also enjoy doing yoga and aqua arabic, also reading, Chinese and English books and articles, also cooking a lot of different dim sum.
Excellent, thank you.
I was going to bring some jam, actually, because of recent years I like making chutney and jam and baking and all that sort of thing, but the thing I grabbed, which was quite portable and wouldn't break, is a macrame lanyard, which I made when I was in the guides a long, 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 long time ago. But I used to like making things way back. Okay.
Did you get a badge for it?
I did, yes. And it was my patrol leader's lanyard. I had to dye one green when I got my patrol leader's and my camp permit, yes.
Rachel, I'd bring lots of things, but they're so small, I'm going to have to put them on display on the table a bit later, I like making things out of wood. So this is a piece of what's called burr elm. If you've ever seen burr, it's a canker that grows on the side of a tree, and it ends up forming a big lump, but it also makes a really sort of nice sort of pattern to it. So that's a display stand I've made for Rachel. She wanted something making for a display cards or whatever, that old calling cards or whatever. So I made something there. And we tend to make things out of wood anyway, but Rachel, look, put it this way, when we moved into our house, we had 3 bedrooms. We now have 2 and a craft room, and we had a garage, which is now a workshop. So we also have a zoo of animals that have been made. Anyone heard of Toft? Toft are a wool company that sell their own alpaca wool and that sort of stuff. So we are collecting rather a lot of little animals that Rachel's been making. And she also makes jewellery as well, but I'll put them out for you. It's just something we enjoy doing, both of us.
Yeah. Thank you, John. Mrs. King?
I've got a sampler that I didn't start needlework until after we were married and had kids and found myself at home.
And this sampler jumped out at me one time in a shop, and I thought, I've got to have that. So I have very fond memories of sitting by the side of the river at Apple Tree Week with the kids playing, and I was sat on the bank doing this, just looking up every 30 seconds to make sure they weren't being swept down the river. But the verse is one for me, because I'd stopped gardening when I had children. And sometimes I used to struggle with that. I used to wonder whether what I was doing was of any value. But the verse here is, to everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. Every man should enjoy the good of all his labour. It is the gift of God. And that for me was a verse that grounded me while I was at home looking after the kids. And then when they went to school, and the last one was at the end of primary school, I actually went back to gardening. So that's where I am with sowing.
Thank you. So perhaps there'll be opportunity afterwards. I've brought this along. This is a chair that I made. This is a post-apocalyptic skill. So if there's a disaster and everything goes horribly wrong, I'll be sitting on chairs and you'll all be sitting on the floor. Because I can make chairs.
Jeff,
yes.
I've got a request for one of these very skilled
yes.
people. It seems like a good moment to ask.
A few years ago, after I'd had various falls and hurt my back and got sick a few times, I happened to find myself in a Methodist church somewhere in the Midlands on a Saturday evening, where they were having like a tese evening of songs. Those are songs in a very special kind of, I don't know, are they Celtic style? Christian songs of praise. And it was very sort of touchy-feely as well, with lots of nice things that we could touch that would make us think of the Lord. And among all these things, there was a huge paper body on the floor, about from here to the same distance over there. And we were all given night lights and invited to place our little night light on the bit of the body through which we would serve the Lord. So I suppose that's a challenge for all of us. If you've got all these skills, how are you serving the Lord with it? But I thought about this.
That's the second part of my sermon.
When I was a young... well, the throne, you know. My instinct when I was a young missionary would have been to put it on the feet or on the mouth to speak. But as I sat there thinking about it, I thought, well, maybe what's left is my brain. So, yes, I'm using my brain to help people design reading books in the African language, to translate between Portuguese and French to get their voice heard, to get their New Testament. But I need somebody skilled to help me do something which I no longer have the skill for in my fingers. I need some blouses, some tops made in cotton with African flounces on, very simple style, so that I can work better in Africa. So if anybody would like to help me with some dressmaking, and I can even pay for it.
Thank you, Jill. We're going to come to our prayers now, and it might be that our prayers will be informed by all these skills that we have and how we're going to deploy them. There's some other things we'll pray for as well. We pray for the locality, in the habit of doing that on a Sunday evening. We'll pray for some of those who have or are serving abroad. We'll pray for our friends and our families. Is there anything else that we should be praying for? Anybody would like me to include in these prayers? Yes, there was an Alpha course in Horsforth, and we didn't have big numbers, but there were some people who were very keen, attended well, and we think are going to follow on from that. Jill Jones and her mum Barbara. Yeah. Barbara, Jill's mum, is 101, and she's very unwell. She's in the closing stages of her life, so we can pray for Jill and all the family. Patty Lunnis at Crag, who had a fall recently, is unwell again. She's recovered from that, but she's got a heart problem that she went into hospital for this morning, so we could perhaps pray for her as well. Let's come together in prayer. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the way in which you've made us, and we know that simply our bodies are wonderful and remarkable. We thank you, Father, that we're able to do all sorts of things through our physical bodies. We remember those who are not well at the moment. We think of Patty, lift her before you, and ask, Lord, that you would bless her and repair her body, help her to recover. Work healing within her, we pray. We think of Jill's mum, Barbara, at the end of her life, and we pray, Lord, that you would be with them in the decisions that they've made, in the work that the doctors and staff are doing with Barbara. And we pray that in these closing stages, you would be there and present, helping and encouraging those who are with Barbara. Thank you, Lord, for the lives that you give us, for the potential that they hold, for the opportunities that we have, the affluence that we enjoy that means we can do so many things. Thank you, Lord, that you are so generous with us in making a wonderful world which is so responsive to the things that we do. We pray, Lord, that you would make us conscious of our role and our place in the world, how we should care for our environment. We should be careful with the things that we use. We mustn't waste or squander what you've provided us with. Thank you for this physical world and this physical experience, and help us to bless you and respond to you, you the Creator, by being creative and being able to bless and encourage others with what we're able to do for them and with them. Father, we remember those who serve you in particular ways. We think of Irene West and of Levi Booth, who have both come back from their places of service. Be with them, Lord, as they recover, as they adjust to coming back into this culture, as they consider what the future holds for them. We pray that you would instruct them and help them. Pray that they would refresh connections that they had previously, that they would be strengthened by friends and colleagues. We pray for Sam and Katie Knight as they continue in their work in Chad, and ask that you would support and help them. We pray in particular for the turnways in this immediate area, that street where a number of people live, some of whom may know you, some you may have challenged in times past, some may not know you at all. We pray for those people and ask that you would make yourself known to them. We pray for this locality and the role that the church here has with people who live around us, the student community, the transient community that passes through Headingley, the people who attend sports here, people who shop here. We pray, Lord, that we would have a role with them. We ask for your blessing on the church here, that you would give us zeal and vigour. Pray that we would sense who you are and what you have to offer to people in our society, in our communities. Help us, Lord, to be free and generous as we talk to people about our faith and about our wonderful Saviour. We bring to you our friends and our families, those people we see every day and we have regular contact with. Help us to know how to speak to them of the faith, to introduce them to you. We pray that you would help us to be creative and to have ideas, to be prayerful, willing to travel with people in order to be able to speak to them about faith and life. Lord, we thank you for all that you do for us, all that you provide us with. We pray that you would help us to be willing to serve, eager to change, to be more like Jesus. Thank you, Father, that we can gather together now and worship you, and we pray that you'd continue to be with us as we continue in our worship. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to take up our offering during the next two songs, and that's not just a way of the church collecting money. It's part of our response to God. All the good things that he's given to us and done for us, this is how we respond. You may have a variety of ways of giving. Part of it may be your time and your talents. But this is an opportunity for us to give in monetary terms. So we'll sing two songs together and we'll take the offering at the same time. We'll stand to sing. Let's stand to sing.
Thank you.
Please take your seats. Claire's going to come and read for us. She's going to read from Proverbs 31, from verse 10 to the end of the chapter.
A wife of noble character who can find. She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She's like the merchant ships bringing her food from far. She gets up while it is still dark and she provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed and is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat of the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate.
Thank you. Let me take a few more minutes of your time just to apply this idea that skill is something to be promoted. See, I don't think we can just say that what we've identified as something that many of us or all of us enjoy doing, and it's something that has its origin in God and the fact that we're made in his image. I don't think that necessarily justifies us devoting our whole lives to simply the pleasure of making and creating things. But I do take pleasure in making and shaping things, and that's not because, the argument isn't that that's legitimate. That's how I'm made, and I'm made with a purpose. If you're familiar with Paul's letter to the Ephesians, he says in second chapter 10, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." And this isn't just a throwaway remark by Paul. This is in the middle of a tightly worked argument. He talks about how we're wonderfully saved and how we go on to be brought into union with Christ and his people and become part of what God is building and making. And this phrase comes in the middle of that. "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works." That same word, workmanship, poiomia, from which we get the word poem, that same word comes up in Romans chapter 1, verse 20. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, his workmanship, so that people are without excuse. So he's this idea that we can be God's workmanship, that we are something that he has crafted and made, a masterpiece, a poem, something that he has constructed and made with purpose. We are his workmanship. He has in mind good works that have been prepared for us to do. So the skills that we have, the capacity that we have, who we are, is properly put into God's service. Our response should be to serve God with who we are and what we're able to do. Our first calling is to be somebody who is Christ's, who has been redeemed by Christ and is taking part in his work in the world. Jesus came and started to preach, and he said, "Repent and enter the kingdom. Repent, change from your old ways, and come and enter the kingdom. Follow me. Become part of what I'm doing." So that's our first and primary calling, is to respond to Christ's call to come and be part of his work. A calling to a new life of fellowship with God through Jesus Christ. There, in that new life, we can have peace and hope. We're not just saved and placed into limbo, though. Jesus asks us to enter into the kingdom, come under his rule, and start to work out our lives in a whole new way and a whole new direction. So I think the skills and the qualities, the ability that we have, needs to be employed in God's service. We've got a short video that I think Donald will show us, which just touches on this and helps us to broaden our view as to what God might be calling us into.
Every one of our MDiv students spends time in the workplace alongside of a person in an ordinary job, listening to the issues and questions and thinking through how the church would be able to empower that person to see that work as ministry and as full-time service to God. You know, when I hear somebody say I'm going into full-time ministry, besides feeling like I want to throw up, not because they're going into a Christian service career, but because it communicates the thought that there's part-time option and there isn't. The easiest way to see that something you would be doing is ministry is to be involved in what is traditionally called pastoral ministry, where you're helping people come to know God and love him and experience his healing, renewal, and transformation in their persons. And that's always the top of the heap. In fact, missionaries, the top of the heap. Then you go down to a pastoral. If you can't be a missionary, you can at least be a pastor. If you can't be a pastor, then you should be a youth worker. Now, if you can't do that, then something else that is direct service to your neighbor, like being a doctor, a counselor, you know, these would be a particular vocational counselor or a psychological counselor. So now you, I mean, all of these you say, yeah, I'm really serving God, I'm serving my neighbor, and I'm doing the ministry, you know. Now, admittedly, those last categories aren't quite as holy as being a missionary is definitely the top, well, martyrs even higher. Now when you get down into business and politics and the trades, and I was a carpenter for 6 years, it seems harder to understand that you're actually serving your neighbor in what you're doing. The reason is you are serving your neighbor indirectly rather than directly. If you, as I have done, read from Genesis to Revelation and underlined every word that explains God working, you find, besides saving souls and redeeming, he creates, he embellishes and makes things beautiful. He communicates, He teaches and instructs. He judges. He destroys. And I have a list of several hundred different words to describe God at work. I just finished making a kayak, stitch and sew plywood kayak for my 8 grandchildren. And I mean, it's beautiful. It's also functional, but it's beautiful. And I just think that that is as much a ministry as teaching a class here at Regent.
So I think he's trying to convey that our callings in life, or how we deploy our service in life, can take many forms. As he says, the classic idea of serving God is to be involved in some direct form of Christian ministry. But as he suggests, there are many other ways in which we can serve God and deploy our skills and our abilities. Let me give you 3 pointers which I think help us to know how we can serve God and respond to his calling upon us. How do you know what you should be doing with your life and the skills that you have? 3 pointers. One is the needs of the world. That's probably the strongest indicator as to how you should deploy your life skills and ability. That doesn't mean you have to be tackling the great and massive issues in the world. There are all sorts of needs. Earning a living for yourself and your family is a perfectly valid need, and the Bible seems to call us into that and into other areas of service. But is there ways in which you can deploy your skills, your abilities, in meeting the needs of the world? What particular skills and gifts do you have? That might be the second consideration that you would want to use. The Bible says that God gives people particular gifts and skills in order that they can serve themselves and those around. You'll be able to find many examples of this in the Bible, but one which intrigues me we find in Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28 and verse 24 says this: do those who plough for sowing plough continually? Do they continually open and harrow their ground? When they have leveled its surface, do they not scatter dill, sow cumin, and plant wheat in rows, and barley in its proper place, and spelt as the border? For they are well instructed, their God teaches them. So where might your skills and gifts be leading you? Yes, you want to meet the needs of the world. You can identify those needs, small and large. But where are your skills and gifts directing you? And thirdly, what are your truest desires? And this is a tricky one, because we're not always in touch with our true desires. It can be difficult to be sure of our true desires. This world is so confusing, our nature is so confused, that we can't always be in touch with our deepest desires. Let me read a piece of Psalm 37, which many of you will know, I'm sure. Do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your ways to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. We can, with God's help, know our truest desires. And that can be a guide as to what we should pursue in life. You know, Christians hold some quite perverse views about this. Christians sometimes expect that God will lead them or call them into a job that they will hate. And that for some reason, well, God would only call you into a job that you don't like. You would naturally go into something you do like, but God is only going to call you into something you don't like. Or what about that morbid fantasy that all you have to think of is a country that you really don't like, and that's the one that he's going to send you to as a missionary? That's not how God works. God is interested in your truest desires. He's placed them there. And your truest desires are one of those things that can guide you into your calling in this life. Let's be honest though, in a fallen world, not everybody is able necessarily to pursue what they want. And many people around the world and many people historically have not been able to necessarily do the work or live the lifestyles that they would choose. This is a fallen world. We find ourselves sometimes in difficult situations, having to do things because we have to, not because they're perhaps our chosen role. Sometimes we have to be creative in the way in which we can serve God. And some people work in order that they can live. Their work provides for them, and then they have opportunities to serve God. Some people will have periods of fruitful service and other times when they simply are making ground. They're just coping and getting through. We have to be creative. We have to be ambitious in how we seek to serve God and answer our calling. Is there a role for the community, for the church, to help you understand what your calling might be? So this is why I asked for Proverbs 31 to be read. Here, I think, is somebody who's got it. Read the passage again. If we're going to be fair, of course, it could be a man. It doesn't have to be a woman. But the passage is about a woman who uses all her skills and talents in a whole variety of ways. She's admired, it would seem, by God, by her family, by the community. She's creative. She's providing for need. She appears to take pleasure in it. She can pick out a nice piece of land and develop it and earn something from it. So I commend to you this wonderful woman in Proverbs 31, and I commend to you this thing which is within you, these skills, gifts, capacity to make things, desire to be creative. This is something that God's placed within you. You can serve him through it. You can answer a calling in life in these particular ways. We're going to sing to close in the light of your mercy.
Thank you.
And now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honour and glory forever and ever.